Dean Karnes is an interesting character. He's a New York Times best-selling author. He's what's called an ultra-marathon runner. In fact, he's pushed his body and mind to inconceivable limits. And among some of his many accomplishments, he's run 350 miles continuously for going slow sleep for 3 nights. He's run across Death Valley in America in 120 degrees temperature. He's run a marathon to the South Pole in minus 40 degrees. On 10 different occasions, he's run a 200-mile relay race solo, racing a long time alongside other teams of 12. So he knows something of endurance. He knows something of having to push through pain, of having to push past some of the limits that people may have set on his own life. It's an interesting take on life. And I want to read you a quote that's going to come on screen for you, where he talks about something that I think is very relevant to all of us, particularly during the season we're experiencing in the world. Western culture has things a little backwards right now. We think that if we had every comfort available to us, we will be happy. We equate comfort with the happiness. And now we're so comfortable, we're miserable. We get in the car, we get in the lift, it all comes so easy. What I find is that I'm never more alive when I'm pushing, when I'm struggling for achievement, and in that struggle. I think that's an interesting perspective, because if we're honest, many times in our own life, what we're trying to do is manage our pain, is massage it to get rid of it, to manufacture circumstances that we won't have to deal with our pain, to move it out of the way. We see that in many people's lives where they're addicted to destructive behavior, addicted to substances, addicted to things that will ultimately be their ruin. But it's to manage and to massage that pain, or try and move it out of the way rather than dealing with the reality. We see it all around us, even in the busyness that some people can experience, rather than dealing with the pain. But one of the things that the Bible says to us, that actually God can work through the pain that we feel. In James chapter 1, he was a brother of Jesus and saw some of the suffering that Jesus would have experienced, and some of the things happened in the early first century church. He writes to us about the need that trials complete their work in our life. I really like the Message version of this passage, so I'm going to put it on screen for you now. This is what it says. Consider it a sheer gift, friends, when tests and challenges come at you from all sides. You know that under pressure, your faith life is forced into the open and shows its true colours. So we don't try to get out of anything prematurely. Let it do its work in you so that you become mature and well developed, not deficient in any way. Those may be uncomfortable words for us, but maybe we need to reframe some of our pain. Maybe we need to rethink about the trials and the difficulties that we're experiencing at this time. In fact, in our reading today, Peter says, do not be surprised at the trials you're facing. And truthfully, that's the thing that often takes us out. It's the surprising nature of it. It's when we're not expecting it that it wins us. But if we're prepared for the fact that trials and difficulties will come, even in following Jesus, then actually I think that will really help us. I want to concentrate on one verse today to give you kind of four principles that Peter outlines is from his own life, from his experience, from the reality of his humanity, that I think will help us kind of come to grips with not being surprised. So number one is on your screens now. Make sure that you're suffering for the right reasons. See, the truth is, we're going to have pain in our life. We can't escape it. We won't always be able to manage it. But the advice from Peter is that make sure you're doing it for the right reasons. The worst kind of pain is the one that's self-inflicted. the one that we bring on ourselves. And sometimes that's what brings us the shame and the guilt, and we need to deal with those issues. So make sure your pain is not self-inflicted. Make sure your pain is not from your own pride or stubbornness or willfulness or your unwillingness to deal with the issues that are under the surface in your life. There's an expression that some of you may have heard where it's about cutting your nose off despite your face. And it's that idea that we go into needlessly self-destructive behaviour as an overreaction to the problem. It's almost that we're hurting ourselves when we're trying to punish someone else. Make sure the pain that you have will move you forward, that will allow you to deal with the issues. See, Jesus faced pain. Jesus faced suffering. But he had that resolution. One time in the gospel, he says, "I have set my face as a flint towards Jerusalem." He knew that it was going to be suffering for him, but it was for the right reasons. The Apostle Paul in Acts chapter 20 was warned that if he went to Jerusalem, he'd face prisons and hardships. And he said, "I am compelled to go to Jerusalem, even though I know it's going to entail hardship, even though I know it's going to face suffering, because I have to proclaim the gospel even in Rome." So the first principle, I think, is we need to make sure that we're suffering for the right reasons. Secondly, we need to make sure that we commit ourselves to God. Jen Raby prayed a beautiful song that we're going to play in a moment. And it talks about the fact that we are not alone. I think that's a really important principle and truth for us to grasp in our hearts. Because sometimes we may feel alone, but the truth of the Bible is that God says he will never leave us. He will never forsake us. Therefore, we can live in a place of contentment, even in the midst of pressure, even in the midst of trials, even in the midst of difficulties. The truth is, no one else can be there for you 24/7. No one else can be 100% faithful to you and meet your every need. Only Jesus is the chief cornerstone. Only Jesus is our refuge. Only Jesus can be that rock. Let's listen to the song together. I think you'll find it inspiring and moving.
I am saved, I am loved, I am wrapped in the arms of God. I don't mind waiting, his kingdom comes. I am wrapped in the arms of love. Here in the waiting, Father, my heart is aching for your voice. Speak to me. I bow before you, Father, here in the midst of all this noise. I receive. I am not alone, I am not alone. You hear me cry, I am not alone, I am not alone. I am saved, I am loved, I am wrapped in the arms of God. I don't mind waiting, his kingdom comes. I am wrapped in the arms of love. The price of my salvation already has been paid for me faithfully. This light inside keeps shining, no matter how dark it might be. I am not alone, you hear me crying, I am loved, I am wrapped in the arms of God. I don't mind waiting, His kingdom comes. I will keep waiting, His kingdom comes.
What a beautiful song. To know that actually we're not alone, that we can bring ourselves to God, that we are loved. And one of the really precious truths of the Bible is the fact that it says that God bottles up our tears. God's not unmindful of the things that we suffer. God is not unmindful of the things. And in our committing ourselves to God, we are entrusting ourselves to Him. It's what Jesus had to do, and Peter says it in 1 Peter. Jesus entrusted himself to God. Jude, who was an early follower of Jesus, said in his chapter in Jude 24, "To him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy." You see, that's the experience of early Christians, that they committed themselves to God. And Paul, as we mentioned, that early writer, knew he would face suffering, and he did throughout his life. And this is what he says in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 11. Sorry, 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 11 and 12. "In this gospel, I was appointed as a herald and an apostle and a teacher. That's why I'm suffering as I am. Yet this is no cause for shame, because I know whom I have believed, and am convinced that he is able to guard what I have entrusted to him until that day." Can you begin to see this theme coming out in the experience of Paul, the experience of Jude, the experience of Peter? They're saying, listen, you're going to face these difficulties. Don't be surprised at them, but you can stand firm in them when you entrust yourself to God. There's an old hymn that some of you will know. "What a friend we have in Jesus." And some of the verses go on as it says that, "Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer." Do you know what, folks? I want to encourage you to commit yourself to God. I can't be there for you 24/7. No one can. But God can. God can be your refuge and strength. So I want to point you to His sufficiency, to His ability, to what He is able to do. And some of you in different parts of the world, maybe even facing suffering that's no fault of your own. It's not medical, it's not physical. You're facing persecution, you're facing restrictions on your ability as a Christian to love and serve and follow God. I heard about this week in Sri Lanka about new laws that are coming in that are anti-Christian laws. And it's going to make it harder for some of my friends working there. Peter has a perspective even in that. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 14 is on your screen now. "If you are insulted because of the name of Christ, you are blessed, for the Spirit of glory and of God rests on you." What a great encouragement for us, that even when we're facing those things, we're not facing them alone. We're facing them with God, and it's not without purpose. God will reveal His glory. We may not see it right away, but God will reveal His glory to us. The author Jeff Bridges, in his book Trusting God, says this: "For the believer, all pain has meaning. There is no question that adversity is difficult. It usually takes us by surprise and seems to strike us when we're most vulnerable. To us, it often appears completely senseless and irrational. But to God, none of it is either senseless or irrational. He has a purpose in every pain He allows in our lives. We can be sure that in some way He intends it for our profit and His glory." third point I want to make from this passage is make sure that you continue to do good. You know, when we're faced with pain, whether that's physical, emotional or spiritual, we tend to get focused on ourselves. We tend to get narrowed in on ourselves, and we can become full of doubt. We can become skeptical. We can become cynical, even when people are trying to help us, even when those closest to us are seeking to reach out and come alongside us. We can begin to feel cynical and skeptical of their motives. It's just the reaction to pain. Peter comes and says, what we must do in those times is continue to do good. Continue to do what's right. And as someone has said, it's easy to do what's right when you know what's right beforehand. The Bible teaches us that we should continue to do good. Psalm 37 verse 3 says, trust in the Lord and do good. And many people will say and have that expression, you know, I'm trusting God. But then we can be passive. Scripture teaches us not to be passive in these circumstances, even when we're going through difficulties. Trust in the Lord and do good. What does that mean for you to do good? It may mean that you reach out to someone. It may mean that you bake a cake for someone or cookies. It may mean that you go and visit in a socially distanced way. It may mean that you send that WhatsApp message or that card. It may mean that you give a financial gift to honour and bless someone who's in a really difficult situation. I know that doing good is often practical. My friend Madhava from India, who some of you met on Zoom last week, heard of a story in India where, because of the lockdown, because of the coronavirus, an older, very old couple who were on the streets and they'd been begging, that's how they got their food. People had stopped giving them. And as he heard of the story, he was moved by it. And so he gathered some of the volunteers and they collected up some simple items that they could use and bless. You know what? We may not have much. We may not be able to do a lot, but we can do something. God may not have given us the ability to do everything, but we can do something. At the very least, Peter reminds us in 1 Peter chapter 3 that our response to people, that our response in those circumstances can be good. 1 Peter chapter 3 verse 9. Do not repay evil with evil or insult with insult. On the contrary, repay evil with blessing, because to this you were called, so that you may inherit a blessing. Not easy to do, I know. Not easy when you're treated poorly. But even Jesus gave us that example. Don't repay evil for evil. Be a blessing to others. Go that extra mile, which isn't always easy. But it's important that we understand even the context of that. When Jesus says, go the extra mile, he was thinking of what could happen to people every day. Israel was under Roman occupation at the time, and a Roman soldier at any point could force anyone to walk a mile with their armor and with their goods and with anything that they wanted them to carry. And people understood that you had to do it, otherwise could have been beaten or worse. And so walking that mile had to be done. And Jesus said that our attitude in doing good has to go that extra mile. Could you imagine the faces of people hearing this for the first time? Not only go that mile and begrudge it, but go that extra mile in doing good. So as we draw to a conclusion, I want to ask you a question. Is there anywhere that you need to change your mindset? Is there anywhere that you need to change your thinking in terms of the pain or the suffering or the difficulties or the trials that you're currently experiencing? Maybe it's in one of these key areas. If you're suffering, are you suffering for the right reasons? Don't let it be because you're not dealing with issues in your life. Bring them to God. Let Him comfort you. Let Him strengthen you. Let Him bring His peace. Do you need to change your mindset in the area of committing yourself to God? Maybe it has been very tough for you. Maybe it has been a real challenge. And kind of your spiritual life and your trust in God has just waned and dipped. Don't be surprised at what you're suffering. Let God work in it. Let it complete its work in you so that your faith is mature. Commit yourself and trust yourself to God. And finally, maybe the principle that you need to live, maybe what you need to change your mindset is make sure you continue to do good. Wherever that needs to happen in your life, make a decision today. Make a definite commitment that you'll make that phone call, you'll send that message, you'll arrange that meeting. Do it this week. Continue to do good. Peter reminds us, 1 Peter 4:19, where we started. So then, those who suffer according to God's will should commit themselves to their faithful Creator and continue to do good. Thanks for being with us today. I hope that message encouraged you and helped you. If you're able to join with us at 11:30 on Zoom, the guys on social media will give you the connection details and the password. Would love to pray with you. Would love to hear what God is doing in your life. God bless you and see you soon.